Well, I've got some pretty neat things to share today, and I trust that your hearts are open and that your minds are prepared to receive a little bit of God's Word, and maybe your life will be transformed today. And wouldn't that be beautiful? You come in one way and you leave a totally different way, far better than you ever imagined. Well, I think we need to start it out right, though, so let's go ahead and say our I am affirmations. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Y en español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. Do you realize that as you say that, you change your life? Because what you're doing is you're speaking to your heart. Now, some call that your subconscious, and I don't really care what you call it, but it's the inside part. It's the part that controls about 90% of your life. 10% of your life is controlled by your conscious, your random thoughts, your thinking process, your inductive thinking process, where you rationalize everything, you think through everything. But 90% of it is controlled by your heart. And that number is debated. You'll see it 95% sometimes, but most people believe it's about 90%. And what's interesting is that that 90% control factor makes up 10% of reality. Because remember I told you that you do your 10% and God does all the rest, which is the 90%? Interesting. So you need to learn how to use your heart. You can't just let it sit there, because it's going to do something, and it has done something. Your heart has dictated your circumstances. And so if you ever want to change your circumstances, you have to change your heart. And I don't know of any more powerful methodology given to mankind. You say, but the nuclear bomb's more powerful. And I say, no, it's not. Because the power of believing, the power of heart persuasion, where you convince yourself of the things that you desire, where you doubt not, but you believe, and then you receive, you can't say that that's not greater than the atom bomb. It's greater because it's within, and it appropriates things. It doesn't destroy things. And so it's God's will that you learn how to master your life. Do you know that the phrase, I am, is used 742 times in the English Bible? That's a lot. Enough to warrant us to think about it. We should consider it. These two words are the two, in my opinion, most important words in almost every language. I am. They are responsible for forging valuables out of thin air. They're responsible for producing prosperity and defeat. They direct your steps up and down. They embrace good and evil alike. They provide the constitution within your substance and give it the wherewithal to either move ahead or lag behind. They're the key to creation. And God has given those two words to you to employ or to use at will. For good, for evil, for abundance, for lack, for health, for sickness, for victory or defeat, for you or some other, they are there to use. I'd like to read a poem to you. It's called I Am Love. And the reasoning behind this poem is something that you would say to yourself every day, several times a day. The heart needs to hear repetition. And after it hears repetition convincingly, it then accepts it. I am love. I am peace. I am joy. I am serenity. I am ecstasy. I am happy. I am kindness. I am goodness. I am mildness. I am healthy. I am power. I am courage. I am truth. I am justice. I am mercy. I am compassion. I am meek. I am virtue. I am empathy. I am loving kindness. I am well. I am trust. I am forgiveness. I am faith. I am hope. I am wisdom. I am bliss. I am awesome. I am gracious. I am kind. I am loyalty. I am lowliness of mind. I am thoughtful. I am harmony. I am humility. I am good. I am pure. I am bounty. I am beauty. I am blessing. I am gratitude. I am positive. I am integrity. I am energy. I am life. I am brilliant. I am light. I am spirit. I am love. These words are some of the most powerful affirmations that you could ever introduce into your heart. And what a contrast they are compared to what you hear day by day from others in the world around you. I am sick. I am poor. I am needy. I'm unlucky. I'm subject to this bad thing or that. You hear people talk like that all the time. To what is this negatively speaking soul fastening himself? You have to ask that question. To misfortune and to defeat. He is declaring to his subconscious mind, to his heart, that these things are indeed so. He then either stays or becomes sick, poor, weak, or the servant of some other thing. Turn to Joel chapter 3. Speaking of the weak, what were the words of the prophet Joel to the weak? Joel chapter 3. This is a great section, by the way. They were getting ready to go to the Valley of Decision. The Valley of Decision, where a war was going to be waged. And it begged me to ask, what is your Valley of Decision? Do you want to be transformed? Well, if you want to be transformed, then you should heed what Joel said in chapter 3, verse 10. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. That's what he said. Let the weak say, I am strong. It says in verse 13, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow. And I'd like you to understand that God's storehouse is always like that. His abundance is always available. But you have to get to the place where you tap into it, where you believe that it's there, and where you exercise your God-given ability to reach forth. God gave us arms long enough to reach to the stars. How far are you willing to reach? We are forever pounded into a remembrance mold. We're always told to remember. We're always taught and suggested that we should do things in remembrance. We remember our friends who've died. We remember events in the Bible that took place long ago. Always in remembrance. Some of our national holidays are based on remembrance. Christmas. They say Jesus was born in December. Well, we know that's not true. But it's about remembrance. Or Easter. It's about remembrance. And I'd like to ask you, should our minds be subject to those laws of remembrance? Or should they be subject to something else? Perhaps to reaching forth. Perhaps to the laws of reaching out and expanding your abilities and your power and your creativity. The very things that God placed within you. And I'd like to ask you a question. If you're forever bound by the laws of remembrance, will you really be able to reach forth? Or will those laws of remembrance hold you down and keep you from springing forth? Will they keep your soul from bounding and leaping to new and greater heights? You know, they say that religion is the opiate of the people. It's like a drug. But that doesn't mean it's good. That just means it does that. And you have to ask yourself another question. What is it that pleasures you in terms of religion? In terms of religious feelings? Because could not those feelings be binding you to the earth? Instead of allowing you to release your potential to the heavens. That's what you have to ask yourself. You have to determine where it is you want to go. What it is you want to do. I guarantee you that God did not send Jesus Christ so that we would be bound solely into remembrance. God wants us to recollect. And he says, bring these things to your remembrance. But at the same time, he's given us the wealth of the universe. He's given us the abundance of his own life. He's given us the triumph of every situation. And when you consider those facts, are we to be bound, shackled, and subdued by remembrances? Or are we truly to be springing forth, to be reaching forth? to be exploding out of our very existence to heights unknown, yet to us, but soon to be. These are honest questions. And I ask you to search your own soul for directive. Because is it not you in control of you? Now, would it not be that you determine where you go? I think the answer is yes, it's true. I am strong, let the weak say. Have you ever considered the words of Job in Job 34? Job had something to say. I'm not sure it received a proper hearing, and I'd like to give it a chance. I'd like you to give it a chance. In Job 34, verse 5. For Job hath said, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. The word wound means arrow, something that pierces. The word incurable means frail or feeble. And the word transgression means a revolt. My piercer is feeble without a revolt. He said, I am righteous. And he said, because of my words, I am righteous, God has taken away my judgment. So, should I lie against my right to say these things? You must embrace the power of I am. You must embrace the power of your words, because those two words can pierce any situation in life and take you to any frontier you desire. It's your choice. My friends, it is your right to claim your spiritual rights. If you don't, you're lying against those very things. If you don't use the might of I am, your forward movement throughout life will forever be held back. And at best, it will be weak, feeble. There will be no transformation, no revolt. And I ask you to transform yourself today. Follow the words of Joel and be strong. Say so. I am strong. Follow the words of Job and be righteous. Say so. I am righteous. Use these as the beginning of your transformation. Mark chapter 11. I find this funny, I guess. Funny. I don't know if it's funny. Sad. Stark reality, maybe. But certainly ever present, that often we only consider the material things of life when we read or ponder these words of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a revolution. Let us ourselves revolt. Let us think deeply on these words and consider the entrance. The entrance into the life that Jesus came to give. He said, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. The only way you'll ever walk into that kind of abundance is by a revolution of the soul, a revolution of the heart, a revolution of the deepest kind. But he said, and ye shall have them. Do you have your heart's desires? Because if you don't, you have the method by which to attain them. Let it be your life's quest to embrace the power, the creativeness of the Christ within you. Let it be your life's dream to use the words of I am, to use the words that cause your desires to form, to materialize, to take shape, to become an entity without. For your thoughts are merely within. But God gave us the ability through Christ to bring them out into the open. But you must embrace this concept. When you read Mark 11, verses 23 and 24, you've got to understand that, number one, you must first speak. You must speak what it is you want. You've got to form it. You talk to yourself. You form it with words. You say the thing you wish to come to pass. You must know what it is you want, and then you say it. Generally, these things are very private, but not always. That's your choice. I've learned my lesson. Learn yours. But at least try it. So number one, you must first say what it is that you want. Number two, affirmations. I am. Hidden? Not really. Because we already know the power of them. Affirmations in this verse seem to be missing, but not. It's understood. You must speak to your heart directly so that it accepts and believes what it is you are about to command. I am able. I am well. I am rich. I am successful. I am righteous. I can do. I can move this mountain, this pain, this debt, this anything. Number three, do not doubt the thing on whose behalf you are speaking. If you're saying, I am able, do not doubt in your ability. If you're saying, I have no debt, do not doubt in the fact that that debt is gone. Do not doubt. What you're doing is you're walking through the minefields of your mind and into the submissiveness and humility of your heart. Totally different creatures. Your mind will fight you all the way down to the door of your heart. Your mind will say, no, it's not so. This is the way it is. Your mind will try to defeat your every step, thwart your every move, convince you of otherwise in everything. Because it always has to go through deductions, reasonings. But if you push long enough and hard enough, eventually you are on the other side of that raging battle and you are at the door of your heart, and then you walk through. That's what you do. So do not doubt the thing on whose behalf you are speaking. If you're planning to mold something out of nothing but your thoughts, you must realize that you are about to create something by use of your God-given power of speaking words into existence. You speak words and you bring that thing into existence. Do not doubt this ability whatsoever. In my opinion, this is the hinge of success. It will either spring open wide or it will slam shut in your face. Number four, believe that what you are saying will come to pass. This is not the same as number three, not even close. In order to do this, repetition is required. That's the way your heart works. You just repeat it to yourself. You must speak it over and over and over again for your heart to believe it. Convince your heart of this fact and you shall soon have it. Over and over and over. Number five, you shall have whatsoever you said. Know your desire. Pray. Believe. You have received and you shall have. Do you understand that you've got to walk into success? Are you the kind of person that is waiting for success? Or are you the kind of person that is running to success? What did Jesus say to those people whom he healed? Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." You're believing. That's the word pistis in the Greek. It means believing hath made you whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. This was the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. What about in Mark chapter 10? The blind man. What did Jesus say to him? Mark 10, verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith, pistis, thy believing, hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He said, go. And after he started going, he received. What about in Luke chapter 7, the woman that had so many sins? What did Jesus say to this woman in Luke chapter 7 and verse 50? And he said to the woman, thy faith, thy believing has saved thee. Go in peace. What did he say to the leper in Luke 17? Luke chapter 17 and verse 19. And he said unto him, arise. Remember, this was the guy out of the 10, the only one that came back. He said, arise, go thy way. Thy faith, your believing, has made you whole. So what did Jesus say to those whom he had healed? Your faith, your believing, has made you whole. And I'd like to say to you that faith, or your believing, controls everything. It controls everything. We all walk to the beat of that drum. It's the most important ingredient of power that you'll ever know. There is nothing greater. Matthew chapter 13. Do you know that because of a lack of believing, Jesus was stopped dead in his tracks? Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. And he did not many mighty works there because of what? Their unbelief. The people's unbelief stopped Jesus dead in his tracks. Wasn't Jesus the greatest man that was ever built? There was no greater. There never has been a greater. Did he not have all the abilities? Could he not do all of those great things, even when he came back to his hometown? Well, he could have. But because of their unbelief, they received from him nothing at all. Zero. Nothing. Well, he was completely and entirely able. Believing controls the heavenly floodgates and access to all of this world's abundance. That's the way God designed it. Maybe our minds are caught too much up in remembrance and the opiate of religion to see this, to leap into this, to recognize this, to begin an accepted form of transformation. Maybe our ideologies are backwards. Because when man is saying, remember, 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 Jesus was saying, go, go, go. Believe, believe, believe. Do, do, do. You shall have. But what feelings are you using to direct your soul? Should you use feelings at all? Or should you take these words and accept them as divine methodology? Embrace them and move out. Be the strong, as Joel suggested. Be the righteous, as Job said, causing the revolt within your very life. What is it that you must do to work up this necessary believing to accomplish those things that you desire. Well, you would be well heeded to follow Job's advice and Jesus' advice by claiming what is rightfully yours and by speaking to your heart so that those things that you desire shall come to pass. You must believe that you received. That's the law of believing. What did Emerson say? A secular view. Ralph Waldo Emerson, our poet, back in 1846. Do the thing, and you will have the power. But they that do not the thing had not the power. Simple. But Emerson had a great ability of taking all kinds of things and putting them down into just a couple words. You know, some have said that life is like an echo. It always returns the same response as what was sent out. The louder the call, the louder the response. Your words are literally the forerunner of your circumstance. Literally. They run before your circumstance. Matthew chapter 12. Have you ever thought of the meaning behind these words? Matthew 12 verse 35. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, the subconscious, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be judged. Man thinks that judgment awaits them in some faraway time and place. And maybe it does for them, not for you. I say that judgment comes a lot sooner than one thinks. Why? Because man justifies or condemns himself now, today, by his very words. Be careful of the words that you speak. Speak only those words of the things which you desire to manifest. C.G. Tanner, a poet, said it so well. If you have faith in what you do, if you hold yourself a king's own son, then you have asked God's power to work through you and pledged yourself to see that it is done. With faith, I place it in God's hands, you say? God's hands are yours. Your good must come through you. God has no other hands with which he may give unto you your sonship's rightful due. Faith and persistence travel hand in hand, the one without the other incomplete. If you would reach success, then take the stand. This I will try once more, and no defeat can cloud that beacon gleaming bright and clear, or conjure up dread failure's haunting wraith. You rest secure with God. No thought of fear can dim the shining armor of your faith. Today is your day of faith, of your believing. Either you are awaiting some knight in shining armor who will give you all you need, or you must learn to rely on your God-given power resident within, with which you will conquer the world and all that is within it. You put it to the test from this day forward. Your believing, coupled with two of the smallest yet mightiest words in the English language, will cause the horizons of your desires to expand and explode beyond belief. Empower yourself this day. Ask what you will. Don't doubt in your heart. Rather, speak to your heart convincingly and lovingly until at last you arrive at the doorstep of your desire, carried on your mighty ship of believing, which was thrust through life by the winds of I Am.